many kids came up here for offering. Nice job, guys. Like Pastor Preston was saying, in Rock Zone, we learn Bible stories, and there's times that we'll do Bible stories with video. Other times we'll do live action Bible stories. We find it super important that the kids from their preschool ages all the way through adult understand the Bible. They understand the timeline. They understand the big picture of the Bible. So we've been studying since the beginning of January. We've been going through a scope and sequence and starting in the Old Testament and going right in line all the way through. And right now we're in miracles. We're learning that a miracle is something that can't be explained, something that can't happen without the power of God, without God's doing. And who in here can tell me what Jesus' first miracle was? Any adults in here know what the first miracle was? You can go ahead and shout it. We shout in kids' zones. When Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Last week, we were talking about how Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, and he multiplied that. He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. And we taught the boys and girls that when we give whatever we have, even if it's a little bit, like the boy that brought the food, Jesus takes that. He takes that and he blesses it. Not only blesses us, but he blesses others with what we have to give. So today we're going to continue talking about a miracle. We're going to talk about when Jesus walked on water, when Jesus invited Peter to walk on water.
Did somebody say water? Oh, that's not fair.
For those of you that don't know, this is Mrs. Wendy. She's one of our core volunteers in Kid Zones. Yes, yes. Mrs. Wendy, we're going to talk about what we're not going swimming. You look silly. You look absolutely silly, Mrs. Wendy. But no, remember how in Rock Zone we're talking about miracles, and last week we talked about the fish and the loaves, and this week we're going to talk about when Jesus walked on water, not going swimming. So why don't you go take that safety gear off and you have a seat and listen to our Bible story, all right?
If I have to.
Give it up for Mrs. Wendy. All right. When you came in, I gave out some slips. There was a Peter, a Jesus, and four disciples. If you got one of those slips, come on up. You're going to help me with our live action Bible story today. Now, like I said, we're gonna continue where we left off last week. We're going to continue. You can just, if you're a disciple, you guys get to hold the boat. Disciples, hold the boat. Come on, Brody. Peter. You're not Peter, you're Jesus, you're Peter. Now we're gonna start right where we left off last week. We were talking about how Jesus fed the 5,000. Now, immediately after Jesus fed the 5,000, he told his disciples to go in a boat. He told them to go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and that he was gonna go up to the top of the mountain and pray alone. Now, Jesus, he sent away all the people that he was teaching, and then he went up on the mountain to pray alone. And Peter and the disciples, they got in the boat. Peter, you got to get in the boat. You're not walking on water yet. And they get in the boat, and they're moving across the lake. They're moving across the lake. You guys, you're moving across the lake. Come on. Row, row, row. The lake's that way. The lake's that way. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. So they're moving across the lake. They get about halfway across the lake. They go way out there, and all of a sudden, a storm. They're in a storm. The waves are beating. The thunder's roaring. Rain is splashing the boat. It's splashing the boat. And they're getting wet and they're terrified. They're scared. All of a sudden, they look out in the distance and they see something walking across the water towards them. Now, you guys are terrified. This could be a ghost. You're like, oh my, is that a ghost? And there's like, no, that's not a ghost. Wait, is that Jesus? And Peter says, is that Jesus? Jesus says, what does Jesus say? Do you know? He says, it is I.
It is I.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Peter says, Jesus, if it truly is you, tell me to come to you.
Come to me, Peter.
And Peter, he steps off the side of the boat. He's staring at Jesus. He steps off the side of the boat. He starts to walk in water or on the water. And all of a sudden, he remembers the wind's blowing, the rain's pouring. He looks behind him and he gets terrified. And he starts to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. Now Jesus is like, whoa, wait a minute. Dude's sinking. No, not yet, not yet. Peter calls out. He says, Lord, save me.
Lord, save me.
And Jesus extends his hand and he takes him out of the water. He says, Peter, why do you have such little faith?
Why do you doubt?
And then he takes Peter, and they walk back to the boat, and they get back in the boat. And as soon as they get back in the boat, the winds stop. The waves calm. See, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when we doubt, we start to sink. We can't walk on water on our own. Thank you guys so much for all your help. You guys can have
nice.
A seat.
Nice. That's good. That's good. You can leave the boat right there. That's cool. Adults, kids, trusting in Jesus, following him takes a whole lot of faith, a whole lot of trust. Now, maybe not this Jesus we had up here, but the real Jesus takes a lot of trust to follow for his disciples way back then and then for all of his disciples here today. Now, as adults, we're in a series called In God We Trust. We're talking about how the discipline of generosity, about how living generously is actually what helps us place our trust in the right and correct place. You just heard the kids are talking about miracles, and today those two series collide. See, as adults, I don't know about you, we have a hard time trusting. Kids, for some reason, have an easier time trusting. It took Peter, who was an adult, but somehow he mustered all the trust he could. It took all of Peter's trust to step out of the boat onto the water during that crazy storm. But it wasn't just Peter's trust that allowed him, that enabled him, that gave him the power to step out of that boat. See, it was also Jesus' influence, Jesus' call to Peter to get out of the boat. Now, I know this may be a shock to some of you. I have never performed a miracle. There's nothing that I have done that has been miracle-like. I'm a really nice guy, but I've never done a miracle. And so if you were on a boat, 3 a.m., the storm's raging, water's flying everywhere, and I was standing out on that lake, and I looked at you and I said, Jane, come. I guarantee none of you are getting out of that boat because I wouldn't even get out of the boat for me. And I trust me, I like me, but I'm not getting out of that boat. But remember, Peter had been walking with Jesus for the last couple years. See, up until that point, Peter had seen Jesus do miracle after miracle. He had listened to all of Jesus' wisdom. He had seen with his very own eyes Jesus' perfect lifestyle. He had walked along the same dusty, dirty path going from town to town, seeing Jesus do the impossible. So when Jesus, in all his influence over Peter's life, said, come, you better believe Peter got up and he got out of that boat and he started walking towards Jesus. See, the influence that Jesus had over Peter's life culminated on that very night on the water. See, Jesus had a very defined and wide-spreading wingspan. Matter of fact, you know, do me a favor. Everybody, stand up with me. Okay, if you were with me like 2 months ago, we were in a series called Pilot, okay? So stand up. You guys are all pilots. Do me a favor. Hands up real high. Out like this, okay? And now even spin a little bit if you want. Just spin. Every person you are hitting right now is in your wingspan, okay? Every person that you're able to touch, or you can sit back down, is in your wingspan. Now imagine that you went through life like this. Like you were going to, now drive to work like this, okay? But when you get to work and you get out of your car, you walked into work like this. Every person you touched or got close to was in your wingspan. When you went to a ball game and you sat down, you're like, wow, I can reach like 8 people. It's really tight in here. Or you get on, even worse, you get on a plane, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can touch like everybody. We're all jammed in here. Imagine going to a play date in the park, and you walked around like this, and every person that you came in contact with, that you got close enough to, that was a person in your wingspan. Those are the people that, wherever you were counted as someone you could potentially impact and influence with the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. Adults, I'm gonna speak to you right now. Don't underestimate, don't doubt the influence and impact that you can have on those in your wingspan. I think as adults, as big kids, we sell ourselves short all the time. We don't trust that Jesus really is who he says he is, or that Jesus will really do what he says he will do, and that is use you to impact and influence not just the next generation or your generation, but every generation within your wingspan. Now notice, God did not give us 80-foot arms, okay? He doesn't want us to walk around and clip people in the head all the time. But he does say, listen, if they're within your reach, okay? I got about 6 feet here. Those are the people that I can influence for Jesus. Now, matter of fact, I'm going to invite Pastor Corey and Miss Rachel up on stage. I want to introduce you to a part of our church family who also has a nuclear family, but has taken a real step to be a wingspan family member here at this church. And so, Pastor Corey, why don't you interview Miss Rachel, and we'll let you go from there.
All right, as Pastor Preston said, this is Rachel Radiman. She's one of our volunteers in our kids' zones. And I've asked Rachel to come up here. I'm going to kind of interview her today to just share her experience in serving with children and serving with our youth. And the reason I've asked Rachel to come up here is because in the last year that she's been serving, I have watched her heart. I have watched her grow. I have watched her just completely bloom into loving each and every kid that she serves. So, Rachel, if you want to tell us about yourself, your family, what you do, and what areas you serve at here at Northridge.
Sure. So, hi, Northridge family. I'm Rachel. As Pastor Corey said, I'm married. My husband's at work today. I have three kiddos. There's one on the floor. There's another bright yellow one there. And Xander, from what I understand, is just in his diaper back in the nursery area. So if you wander that way, you might see him running around in his diaper, but he's comfortable at church, so that's good. I am a labor and delivery nurse over at St. Joe's or Marshfield Clinic, whatever we call it now. I work over at the hospital in OB over there, so I've seen some people over there. Hope to see some more pretty soon. In areas I serve here at Northridge, I'm an Awana leader, which feels weird to say. I come show up at Awana and wrangle kids around. And I help with Rock Zone, and I've also worked with Mega Sports Camp.
And Rachel, what first influenced you to serve in children's ministry?
Well, that's kind of funny. I was here for 2 years, and I was kind of looking for a place to serve and, you know, kind of watching what other people were doing and like, oh, maybe I should be a greeter or the cafe or, you know, maybe that's for me. I ended up coming to Mega Sports Camp and volunteering because my son was there. And I was like, well, I'm going to be there anyway. Might as well serve instead of sitting around. And my first day at Mega Sports Camp, I was terrified. I sat in the corner, and if you've ever walked in here at Mega Sports Camp, the lights are flashing, and there's balls flying everywhere, and there's kids running and screaming, and I was like, oh, Lord, help me. I'm not coming back here tomorrow. This is nuts. What did I sign up for? What did I volunteer for? Who in their right mind would do this? The night after night coming back here, I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with watching the kids, and they just have such a heart, and they're so much fun to hang out with. So awesome. We came back.
Awesome. And how has your life been different in the last year since you've started serving and giving your time?
I really feel like my heart has grown. My heart has grown for kids. I love coming every Sunday that I come and watching kids. I love watching them worship. They're so honest and free, and they don't really care. And, you know, you saw them up here. They're not afraid to jump and dance and worship. And I feel like it's made me a better mom and a better wingspan mom.
Awesome.
Like, watching everybody grow.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Rachel. Can we give Rachel a round of applause? Thank you so much. And I could have so many people standing up on this stage and sharing. There are so many more people out there that are a part of our children's ministry, are a part of our youth ministry. You see some of the blue shirts out there right now. I could have had the Awana leaders wear their Awana shirts. I'm sure Pastor August could have had the youth leaders wearing their Remix shirts. And we would have so many people that are wingspan influences, wingspan families to those around here. And if you're like, you know what? I might want to serve in one of those areas. I want to know a little bit about how I can spread my wings and how I can be an influence on others. In your connection guide, you're going to see a card that looks something like this. On one side, there's Kid Zones, Awana Clubs, Mix 5-6, and Remix Student Ministries on there. If you're interested in any of those areas, you want to learn more about those areas, please fill this out. The ushers, when you leave, are going to have a yellow bucket and a green bucket at the door. Put those in the bucket. We'll email you. We'll give you a call. We'll sit down. We'll talk and see what that looks like. See where your heart's at. And then if you're thinking about any of those areas or you already serve, on the other side, there's an invitation. We're going to do a lead event here. It's going to be a time that our children's ministry volunteers, our youth ministry volunteers, are going to be able to come together for a day and a half. Like, it's just a fellowship. It's a time to be filled up. We've got speakers coming in to talk. We're going to worship together, and we're going to have some breakout sessions. So put that on your calendar. It's September 8th and 9th, even if you are just interested in knowing more about children's ministry or youth ministry. So thank you. And
that's awesome, Pastor Corey.
Pastor Preston. Pastor August.
Yeah. Dude, if I was as cool as Pastor August, that would be amazing.
Pastor Preston.
But I'm not.
Can I have permission to play a game up here? You know, we haven't played a game yet today, and in kid zones, we normally play a game, and I'm like,
I know, but sometimes adults are like, I don't want to play a game.
It's all right.
Should we make them anyways?
We should make them anyways.
We'll make them anyways. All right, that's a good idea.
A blue game slip. If you have a blue game slip,
yeah, let's
come
do this.
Up. You're going to help me out with a game.
All right, so all my blue game slip players, come on up here.
Got a job for you. It's a difficult job. Can you guys handle it? What I need you to do is I've got these balloons. We're going to talk about when Peter, what did Peter say? He called out to the Lord, save me, right? So we're going to put together our Bible verse, which is Matthew 14, 30. So everybody gets a balloon. What you're going to do is you're going to get in order of what it is, and it's on the board if you want to cheat. It's right there. See, it says,
yeah, we're going to throw it up there. Put the whole verse up there so everyone can see it real good.
We can line up. Yeah,
it's all of them.
It's right there. Right there, see? Okay. So you line up in order.
All right, Jeremy, give me
do,
he.
I need everybody else's help too.
He,
so
perfect. He.
Don't feel like, oh man, I really wanted to play.
Cried.
Guess what? You get to play.
Out was out. Out. He cried out. Jeremy, you can throw it up there so I can see it too. There we go. Lord, good. Save me. Matthew 14:30. All right.
So what we're going to do is these guys are all going to keep these above their heads, all right? They're going to keep them above their heads. You guys, when I point to a balloon, you're going to shout out the word that's on the balloon. We're going to say this verse together, all right? So everybody over your head, hold them up. So when I point to the balloon, you guys are going to shout it out.
He cried out, Lord, save me.
Matthew 14:30.
All right, we're going to do that again.
Cry out, Lord, save me. Matthew 14:30. He cried 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 out, Lord, save me. Matthew 14:30.
Awesome. Can we
get up our volunteers. Good job.
That's one way in Rock Zone that we learn our Bible verses each week. We try to incorporate our games into our lessons. Normally in Rock Zone, though, some of those would have water in them. Some would have, like, whipped cream in them. So I was trying to be nice.
We tried to be nice.
Time. Next time, I'm not going to be so nice. So give them a round of applause.
Nice.
Thank you, guys.
My favorite is when volunteers have no idea what they're volunteering for. I love that. Now let's get back to our story in Matthew 14. See, when the disciples first saw Jesus out on the water, they were afraid. Okay, a little bit like Rachel when she first stepped into children's ministry. She was a little afraid. First response was, I ain't going back there. Okay, the disciples saw Jesus out there and thought, we ain't going out there. That was their very first response. I mean, imagine. 3 in the morning, Sea of Galilee, storm raging everywhere. Matter of fact, they thought Jesus was a ghost. Now, Isn't it interesting what Peter does next? See, I mean, I'm sure he's thinking to himself, no way I want to go out there, but I got it. I'm curious. I got to know what that is. There's something that is drawing me to this ghost-like figure out there. And so what's he do? He calls out to Jesus. And this is my best part. Jesus doesn't say like, ah, no, wait, just stay there. I'll be right there. You know, I'm the Son of God. I can do this. I'll keep walking. No, Jesus literally stops, looks at Peter and says, come. Come out on the water with me. So Peter steps out of the boat. Now, we all saw the story. Peter's water walking experience doesn't last really long. Why? Because Peter started looking around. Peter started checking out what was going on. Peter started getting really nervous about what was going on because he saw the wind, the waves. He realized this should not be happening. He's looking back at his nice friends who are all safe and secure on the boat. And what's he do? He starts sinking because he's afraid. See, Peter began to sink. Now, we would like to say like, oh, that's silly, Peter. Why didn't he just trust? Okay? Honestly, how many of you are just simply trusting? How many of you are not looking around? I'll tell you, that's what I'm doing. I'm looking around going, are you sure, Jesus? I don't know if this is really real. Can I do this? And even if I would have taken two steps, I would have been like, oh, I don't know. These guys look a lot safer. I feel like I would have been in the same boat as Peter. But I also hope that I would have had the same response as Peter. See, as Peter started to sink, he didn't just go, well, this is my fate. Here we go. Let's do this. No, he cries out. He says, Lord, me. Matthew 14, 30. Okay, wait. He cries out, Lord, save me. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did. He stuck out his hand. He grabbed Peter, and he saved him from certain death. Now, some of us here today, you've taken that faith step. You said, all right, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. I'm going to actually, you know what? I'm going to step out onto seeming choppy waters, Jesus. I'm going to trust you with all I am and with all I have. Now, some of you maybe have taken a faith step because you felt like Jesus has called you to do something big and different, potentially scary, and now you're a little timid. You're a little afraid. Maybe some of you have gotten to the point where you feel absolutely overwhelmed by the storm. Whether Jesus called you or didn't call you, you are absolutely overwhelmed. The storm is overtaking you. Maybe some of you didn't even ask for the storm. You didn't even ask for Jesus, but for some reason, you are now realizing you woke up one day and your life is sinking and you need help somehow. You don't know where that hell's coming from. You know what it's going to look like, but your life is not what you thought it was going to be. Regardless of how you've gotten where you're at, whether Jesus called you into the storm, you stepped willingly, or you just woke up one day and you were there, I pray that your response would be the same. See, Peter found himself in predicament, but then Peter led by example. I pray if you find yourself in a predicament like Peter, you would follow his example and just take four easy steps. The first step is this, that you would cry out, Lord, save me. Don't stay silent. Don't sit back and be like, man, hope Jesus does something because I'm sinking fast. No, take the opportunity to cry out, Lord, save me, and watch his faithfulness into step two.
And step two is stop looking all around. Stop looking at the storm behind you, worrying about the wind, the rain. Stop worrying about what is behind you and focus on what's in front of you. And that leads to step three. Start looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep calling out and keep looking straight forward.
And finally, step four is grab his hand. Grab Jesus' hand and trust that he is who he says he is. Trust that the promise that he gives of forgiveness, of hope, of true life is actually yours. Trust in God. Focus on Jesus during the storms. Hold on to his promises no matter how much your boat and your life is rocking. I want to close and make sure that you understand throughout this service, as we've had young kids and old kids join us, that you don't have to doubt your influence. I don't care if you are 6 or 600. You have potential influence and impact on your wingspan. And so as we close in prayer, I want you to do 2 things. Pray with us that, one, God would increase your trust in him. Push you to live generously with your time, your talents, and your resources because you placed your trust in him. And then 2, to ask yourself this question, who do I need to help get out of their boat of comfort and onto the waters of trusting Jesus? Who do you need to help get out of the boat and help them trust in Jesus? And as we pray, I pray you would ask that you would put your trust in him and that he would show you who you need to lead to trust in him. Maybe it's a kid that's sitting around you right now. Maybe it's a peer or a coworker. Maybe it's even someone older than you. Across generations, I pray we'd be looking to say, God, who have you put in my wingspan so that I can impact and influence for you? Let's pray together.
Jesus, I pray.